Amen. Turning your Bible to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is where we're heading this evening. Indeed, the spirit of Antichrist is real. I encourage you to be alert. Alert to your surroundings. Alert to your family. Don't assume anything. Just be alert. And be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion. I'm not preaching yet. is seeking who he may devour. So he loves to destroy the church. And so the people of the church. So be watchful and be mindful of that. Psalm 32. Do y'all normally stand for that? Whatever. Let's stand. You might need a break. You've been sitting for a while. Psalm 32. And as I read it, and then we'll have prayer and we'll have a seat there. Psalm 32. Verse 1, blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the flood of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah, or think about it. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as a horse or as a mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but they that trust in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for East River Baptist Church and the fine folk here that has a vision for souls and Father, for faithfulness. We pray you would be honored and glorified in meeting with us, Father. May you put your angels round about us, shutting down the confusion of our hearts and minds. And Lord, may the word of God sink deep into our hearts and speak it to each ear. Father, if there's one without Christ, may they come to true repentance and faith. And those that are saved, that may be discouraged, going through trials, may they find your hope and your help. Maybe decisions that needs to be made. We need your discernment, your direction. Maybe the finances is short, Father, and the bills are high. I pray you'd meet the need. And Father, those that have lost loved ones, the sorrow may be here from even losing those from COVID. Lord, may you give comfort and strength, absent from the bodies, present with the Lord. Those that are struggling with physical illness, Father, just give healing and blessing and strength. And Father, may you be glorified in the church. And Father, we pray for those around the world, our faithful missionaries, your hand be upon them this night. And Father, may we be ready for your shout when you return. Until then, help us be faithful. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalmist David, I'm thinking about the blessedness of salvation, the blessedness. It's sure good to be right with God. And he's expressing that. And sometimes we forget, and to whom much is forgiven, they experience much love. And David was experiencing this. It relates, this Psalm 32 relates to 2 Samuel 11 and 12, where David's failure, sin of lust and adultery and murder led to his demise there, terrible sin, and Nathan the prophet coming and telling him the story about the little ewe lamb and then summarized and said, thou art the man. And indeed, David coming to the place of submission to God and repentance. And Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my sin. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in my sight. Oh, he comes to a place of brokenness. And then he's expressing this in verse 1 and 2, the cleansing, Just, it's good to be clean. You may be here and you're carrying some dirt. You're carrying a burden that you don't have to bear. The Bible said, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Indeed, sin is a heavy taskmaster, and it just grows. You can run and you can hide, but it just grows and grows. And I see it there with the men in the jail. But David had come to that place of experiencing God. Have you ever experienced God? We've got to have churches and individuals that experiencing God. Not let's do church. Let's have religion. Let's sing this hymn. Let's pray this prayer. Let's go home. You know, come on. You can go down the road and get that. We need to experience God that to the fact that He, you know that you're His and He is yours. And He loves you, unconditionally loves you. You may be dirty and you failed and all, but He loves you with everlasting love. And David came to that reality. And God called him a man after God's own heart. He said, it's good, happy, blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven. It didn't mean that he hadn't sinned. He did sin. But he's not rejoicing in that sin. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. But whose sin is covered. You see, indeed, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Indeed, we see, even as it goes down the passage, how the heaviness comes. And I'll hit that in a minute. Blessed to him. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whose spirit there is no God. God does not put it to his account. God's got the as they say in the jail, the rap sheet on all of us. He's got it all. He knows exactly what we thought, what we've done, our attitudes. He knows, he understands. But we can have it cleansed. We can have it purified. You can come to a place of salvation, but also the place of fellowship with God and dealing with these sins. Many people maybe have, I can work with jail people better than I can church people, because church people don't want to come clean. Many have this facade that what's people going to think? When you have lost it all and you know, it don't matter, just fix me, I'm broken. Hallelujah. We can get somewhere then. A broken and contrite heart, oh God, thou wilt not despise. Hey, take advantage of the opportunities you have. We need to be real in our churches. Real enough, but we also need to be real enough if somebody shares something, we're not, you know, sister long tongue or brother long tongue, and you destroy one another. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Work through with your pastors. Work with these teachers. Work with those and begin to deal with the issues at hand. Don't let it come to the place of destruction. Destruction of your own life. Destruction of your family. Destruction of the church. Oh, David had to deal with it. And oh, it did. As a result, he said, whoo-hoo, it's good to be saved. He said, you want to know how I got it? I'll tell you. That's what he's wanting to do. He's wanting you to see it. He said it always hadn't been this way. Oh, there came to the place, he's explaining, there come a time of conviction. You see, so many people are wanting to get jailhouse religion, but they don't have jailhouse relationship. They don't have true salvation. There are many people have church house religion, but they don't have a church house relationship. And this is a key issue right here with verse 3. That thing, there must come a time of conviction. I could have 50 men, if I could move fast enough, I could have 50 men saved today. 50 professions of faith today. If I said, men, if you'll stand on your head round the walls, I think God will bless you. Bless God. They'd be all standing on their head. They just, do something, do something. But there's must time. Notice what am I talking about? Notice verse 3. There comes a time of conviction. There must be a conviction if there's going to be a conversion. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night the hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned to drought of summer. Selah. Oh, there must come a time of conviction. David says that he blesses a man whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, whose spirit there is no guile. That guilt, that condemnation. You see, God has designed us all. He's given us a conscience. Romans chapter 1 speaks of that. Romans chapter 1, indeed, he's given it because that which may be known, 1:19, that may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has showed it to in our conscience. Even chapter 2 of Romans, verse 14, when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not a law are a law unto themselves, which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts some means while accusing or else excusing one another. You see, the conscience is designed to warn us we're violating the very laws of our holy, righteous God. You cannot sin and win. Nobody knows, but there's a God in heaven that knows. And you violate God's holy design and you're asking for a wreck. It's going to break. Some people love these nice collector cars, 57 Chevys and all, some of these nice ones. And you get that and you pay your money and you head down the road. And it says, mine, I'll do what I want. You may have three on the tree. You may have the three speed on the column. And then you just said, I'll do what I want. I shift it up in reverse. And when I do, I'll just pop the clutch. It's mine. Boom. And you're broken beside the road. There you violated God's design. You see, we have come to that place, and when we've broken God's law, there is an alarm goes off. It's like your smoke detector when you're cooking your bacon. What do we do? Go take the battery out. No, that's what we do. And that's what it's a dangerous thing. In your conscience, you just shut it off and you harden your heart. And harden your heart. And to the place our society is, now we've got a whole generation that did not have a grandmother, did not have a grandfather, did not have a mother or father that had morals. They had the parents were doing the crimes and doing the evil and abusing them. And so they've been broken. And the alarms are not going off properly. And our society is broken. But if God is convicting you, we see in Romans 1, he give them up and give them up and give them over to a reprobate mind where the alarm just stops. And I think we're about there in society. But if you hear his voice, there's a pricking in your heart, young people, thank God. Thank God. He's dealing with you. Don't shut it off. Listen to him. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all that day long. Meaning, he got his hand is heavy upon me to the place that if you're holding bitterness and anger and sin, it affects your body. And the doctor can help us with this more details. But of course, it starts pulling the calcium out of your bones, and now you get your back's hurting, and you're getting arthritis, and your teeth hurting, and you got all kinds of trouble because it's trying to balance the pH in your body. When I kept silence, it waxed old. All day and night, the hand is heavy upon me. You can run, but you can't hide. That's why we have such an open door as far as in the hearts of men of incarcerated. If they come to that place of brokenness, of hurt and reality, they know sin hurts. But is there any hope with God? Day and night, the hand is heavy upon me. My moisture's turned to the drought of summer. I remember growing up under the gospel in Kentucky. And I thank God for my parents that took me to church and grandparents and hearing the Sunday school teacher. I think 51 years ago, the last Sunday of May, I came to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was 51. Man, I was 16. But I was afraid to get a car, afraid I'd wreck it. I knew I was going to hell. I was afraid to go swimming because I was lost. I'd go to hell. I'd heard the gospel, but yet my heart had been hardened because of fear. The enemy uses things in men's and ladies' lives to hinder us. And the devil is a liar and the father of lies. We've got to face it. Indeed, day and night, the hand was heavy upon me. And I put it off and I put it off. And we had preachers that come and they would, you know, from a liberal seminary. And it's just something in me said, they don't know God. They don't know God. And I put it off. The devil uses evil teaching. Put it off, but finally came one that believed the old word and gave testimony about leaning up on it against an old tractor wheel and cried out to God and repented and got saved. And the Holy Ghost began to work in my heart, bring me to the place of hearing His voice, hearing Him day and night. Conviction. Has there been a time when you knew you were lost? I got a guy lost this week. I got a guy lost this week. It was fun. He thought he was saved. He came in, but he was messed up as a termite and a yo-yo. But as we got to working, they come to the place that the reality is that he had to deal with his sin. He had, and as we were dealing with the sins, but there was one sin that he wouldn't let go of. And it come to the place that he had to come to that place of yielding and brokenness, and I had to live and go. I think his name was Robert. His middle name was Robert. Pray for Robert. You see, he'd gone through so much brokenness in his home, his family, and abuse that he cried out. But since all the confusion, he couldn't sense God, so he turned to idolatry and Santa Morte. It's real. The spirits of darkness is real, and they're selling their souls for money and for protection and things. And this occult is so growing and rapid, and they worship these things. And there is power in darkness of evil power to hold. And now the fear of giving this up and the repercussions of it. And he wasn't willing to let go of it. Pray for Robert. You see, day and night, the hand is heavy upon me. He now has to face the reality. Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You cannot hold on to your pet sins. You've got to see what it is. Day and night, the hand is heavy. Cheer up, it's got to get worse. If you're not going to let go of it, it's going to begin to eat you up and destroy your life. But I'm so glad of conviction. Conviction. If people pray prayers, we intellectually assent to Jesus, but without a heart submission to Jesus, there's no genuine conversion. And as even with genuine conversion, many are coming out of such darkness, they are going to have the grace of God and a strong wind from the Lord to come through and to be faithful. There must come a time of conviction. But then there comes a place of confession. Day and night the hand was, but he said, verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I want you to realize in the context, David is in the Old Testament economy. He got saved the same way we do, by grace through faith, looking to Messiah. They were looking to, they had made the offerings by the shedding of blood, and he was looking to the God's mercy through the sacrifice, looking to Messiah indeed. But he was coming to that place of brokenness, of confession. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall have indeed mercy. Oh, I was thinking in Hebrews, the Hebrews chapter 9, I'll try to quickly get over there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. I love this verse. Hebrews 9, 14. Over back up 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers sprinkle the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What can wash away my sin? In our chapel services, We're different in that we pass out the old hymn books and we sing the hymns. And because many have not been exposed to them, we sing repetition, just the same hymns pretty much every chapel. Nothing but the blood, pass me not, O gentle Savior. I've had men 5 years later say, I know you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I said, you're right. They didn't know me from Adam's house cat, but they remembered the song. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, the blood of Jesus. David found there, coming to that place, acknowledging our sin. If we confess, you know the verses, you're familiar, you're church people. If we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that you, the accuser of the brethren can assist you in bringing condemnation to you, but you must exercise your God-given authority of submitting to God and then standing on the word of God. The blood of Jesus, cleanse your conscience, cleanse your conscience. And as you put these things, these failures under the blood of Jesus, you find cleansing and healing. As I've dealt with some men so in bondage of sin that it was tormenting them to insanity, horrible crimes of murders and things, and it taunting them and taunting them and taunting them and taunting them. Day in and day out, locked in a little cell. And what can wash them? Day and night, thy hand. But as they submitted to Christ, claiming the blood of Jesus, breaking those strongholds in their life, they found freedom and hope and help. It cannot change the past. Some had to go to death row. Some were executed. As Angel Monterino Resendez, as I worked with him the last months of his life, back in 2000, 2006, was with him at his execution. Indeed, he realized, I deserve what I was getting, the execution. They did not deserve what they got. But he found a release from the condemnation and he went out to the arms of Jesus. And some of you have been present, the homegoing of your loved ones, and you know, maybe some saved and some not. You know the difference. Indeed, you can sense when a homegoing of a believer, it's just your spirit. So you feel a little draw in yourself, like, whoo, my feet's getting a little, I feel like there's glory in here. I think we're getting ready to go home. And mama, though, whoever it is, slips on into glory. It was that way when that inmate went to glory at his execution. You see, God is no respect. It can cleanse our conscience. Maybe you've done some things and you've wished, and the enemy has eaten you up and eaten you up and eaten you up. Hey, the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. Woo-hoo. And I testify, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But we've got to come to that place of finding the key and working with people that they come to their conviction. Many times, the outward sin is not the thing that's holding the individual. The outward sin is not the thing that's holding the individual. I find many in alternate life out of sodomy and all kinds of things. But many times, that is a result. It's a fruit. It's not the root. And you say, I'll whip that old fruit. I'll whip that fruit. And I hate that sin. I hate that drunkard. I hate that, you know, this or that. Sodomy and all that. Yeah, I hate sin too. But you can waste your a lot of time. Go for the heart. A guy was in the hall the other day and I started befriending him. I dropped literature from the time I hit the jail, time I get out. They're like birds on a perch waiting. What you got for me? What you got for me? And I started hitting them and making relationships. And one guy started hitting him. And I said, I need time. I need to talk with you. And got to with him and realized he was in sodomy. And just an older man, just messed up. And I broke him with gospel and ran out of time. And I just left him and gave him literature. I came back and brought him back out. And God was working on it. And we found, what is it? What is it? And we found the key and that hurt. And it, invariably, that's usually where it goes. Abandonment, betrayals as a child, abuses. Pops like an egg. And they just start crying. And the Holy Ghost just shows up. That's when business picks up. And they must come to the conviction and then come confession. They've got to come clean with this. And once they can deal with it, then they can cry out to Jesus, I acknowledge my sin to thee, my iniquity have I hid. I said, I confess my transgression to the Lord, and the Lord forgave us the iniquity of my sin. It's beautiful. Pray as you are soul winning. I'm going to chase a rabbit, and I'll come back to text, but I'm just for soul winning thoughts. Pray that God would show thee a key to unlock hearts, the hearts that you're working with, the people in your prayer time. That's where you're going to find the key. Your prayer time, God's going to show you. Don't just look at the outside. Look at the heart and ask the Holy Spirit to God to show you where, what's holding them. What's holding them? What lie of the enemy is holding them? And as God begins to reveal that to you, and you can be addressed that with Scripture in love, addressing that, the Holy Spirit can unlock that soul and bring them repentance. I had a young man, 17 years old, satanic ritual sacrifice and murder. He was in on murder. Horrible, it was in the news. And horrible murder, but it's satanic ritual. He was only 17. And I had some people pray, and he was at another building. I said, y'all pray, because they got mental health around him, and here he is, he's segregated. I don't know if I can even get to him. And the Holy Spirit opened the door. I was able to get past all the guards and get right to his door. And I began to work with him. And instead of addressing, you know, the Satanism and all, you know, if you ever try to win a demon to Christ, you can't. And they'll just jump right up in your face. It's like trying to win a JW, and you're just, you know, getting arguing a lot with that. It just don't go. So in the same way, God began to show me. I said, had somebody hurt you? And it was just like, man, I poked his sore. And he was, I'd prayed, and he was in his right mind. I said, did someone hurt you? He said, my daddy, he left my mom and daddy, and I sold my soul to the devil. This is actually happening. People, because of the pains and hurts, they don't know. And the enemy always has got another plan to crash and burn them. There's evil that's there. But as we dealt with that, then he quickly broke and trusted Christ. It's amazing to see what God can do for if we come to that place of conviction and conversion. Oh, we've got to move on. Then that covering, that after that comes salvation experience. We see in verse 6, salvation experience, there comes a covering. Now that we come to Christ, there's the security and blessing. For this shall everyone godly pray unto thee in a time thou mayest be found. Surely in the flood of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Here, now you've got covering. Just like the children of Israel going across the Red Sea. They went through the water, but they were not covered by the water. Yea, though you walk through that valley of shadow with death, you're not going to be covered with death, nor I. We have eternal life. We have Christ. And though you may go through trials, it's not going to overwhelm you. The Lord is with us, and his angels there with us, protecting us. Thou art my hiding place. So we've got a covering, protection that the Lord gives us. Notice, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt pass me about with songs of deliverance. He's our hiding place. Let's think of Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Remember the name of the Lord. It's a powerful tool. How indeed the enemy comes in like the flood. The Spirit of the Lord raise up a standard. Cry out to him, the name of Jesus. Young people, talk to Jesus in the night. Don't be afraid at night. Jesus is there. His sweet spirit, his angels watch over us there. Thou art my hiding place. I think of Psalm 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. This is what you get. Now, when you come to Jesus, you have protection. It's fun as you go and see it in life, young people, what God can do. I'm going to chase another rabbit. We was in the PAC unit not too far from here in Navasota years ago, and I think Brother Yalls may have been in there with me once, some of the other men. We went in one night and did a service, and there was four of us. We gave out our tags, our driver's license. They gave us tags. We came back out and had this officer there, and they said, we were given our tags back, getting our driver's license, and they said, where's the other one? And we said, well, there's four of us. We gave four tags and four driver's license. There are four. I know, but where's the other one? I said, well, but this one's dense. I said, four. You know, but you show respect. There's four. Four. I know, but when you came through the door a while ago, there was five and one was in white. Where's the other one? They didn't know God from the gateposts. But they saw something. The angel of the Lord. I felt it down about my feet and it worked the way up. Woo, glory to hallelujah. God can work up. He can protect you. I've seen it. One time they dropped an inmate out in a vestibule area. He was wanting a phone call. As chaplains, we don't give phone calls unless confirmed death or dying. But they didn't scan him. They didn't ask questions. And they just put me there and dropped him in with me. Insane guy. He said, I'm going to get a phone call. I said, sorry, sir, we don't get phone calls unless a confirmed death or die. I'm going to get a phone call. I'm going to get a phone call. Somebody's going to get hurt. And he's just like a bear in a cage, round and round and round. And I was the only one in the area. And the officer come down and say, hey, sir, get back in your cell. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to get a phone call. Somebody's going to get hurt. And he wouldn't even let me up in the picket with him. I said, boy, you're a lot of help. And here I was, but it's like he didn't even see me. He went round and round, and they brought in a SmackDown team, men with helmets and shields and everything, to take him out. And I was sitting in there, like Daniel and the lions did out there. Glory to God, look at here. And as the door, they came in, they were shutting the door. I said, I'm not going to stay for the party. So I rolled out. And they came dragging him down the hall later on. I said, man, you know, God is big. And young people, we need to realize our God is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all loving. And he's there at all times of day or night. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Indeed, protection. That deliverance is what we want. Freedom. Oh, indeed, he's going to give covering. But he's also gives us comfort as we go through these trials. But there's a calling. I like, now I'm about to camp on this verse. Encourage it. Memorize Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in a way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Oh, indeed, there's calling. Now that you're saved, now you have a relation and fellowship with God, he's going to give you direction for your life. Not only direction, he's going to teach you how to accomplish what you need to do. Then he's going to train you how to accomplish what you need to do. I didn't know how I was in school, and I had finished Bible school, and I was working a job and praying. I'd already gone through, got a business degree, but now a Bible school degree, but I was out of money, and I couldn't even get out of town, but I was preaching up in the mountains, helping a church with Brother David Cloud at that time, or another chapel, a pastor. But I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I was fasting and praying for 3 days, and I was working and fasting, drinking water, and praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And he gave me this one verse. He said, I'll show you when the time comes. And I said, yes, sir. And as I got that verse and held on to it, then I heard about Pastor Schrader starting a work in Texas down here and needed a helper. On the way, I'd never flown in an airplane. I was on the way down here. God was nudging me. I had this mountain woman chasing me, and I knew she wasn't. Her mother killed her father. He was a drunkard and said, you come home drunk and I'll shoot you. And he did, and she did. And whoo, I didn't want that for a mother-in-law. So I wanted to get out of Dodge. And I heard Pastor Schrader starting to work down here. On the way down, I was a white knuckle flight. I never flown before. I was reading my Bible. That enhances my prayer life. As I was reading, I came across this verse, and the Lord said, now. I'd never been to Texas before. I didn't know about it, but God directed. And it was here that God provided my wife and has been faithful for 37 years, going 38 years, four children. It's here that God directed me into prison ministry. It's here. You know, see, God has got his direction. Sometimes you don't know how to do it, but he's going to teach you how to do it. And then he's going to direct you. You see, like he's going to use people. Like I, young people, you might not have a father or mother to help direct you in choosing a mate. Go to your pastor. Go to your pastor's wife and communicate with them, and they would pray with you about this situation. I went to my pastor. I said, Pastor, I need a wife. I need a wife. I'm about chewing the bark off the trees and howling at the moon. I need a wife. And indeed, he helped me. And but you know, I was hard headed. I thought she had stuck up, and I put her off for, you know, but the Holy Ghost directed and put it together and confirmed it. Give me scripture about it. I will instruct, I will guide thee with mine eye. Even if, and so with Rock of Ages, I had a business and how I had a lawn business and I had got it going and scratch, had a wife and family and how God instructed. He just gave me verse after verse, prison. I thank you, Lord, you want me in prison. And then as I went off to one of the conferences, I had a little money and had my business thing, and the Lord said, give it away. I said, what, Lord? He said, truck and all. I said, my truck too? And indeed, he made it clear. I will instruct you. I will teach you. I said, God, it's all yours. And I came home. The Lord directed where the truck goes, where the business went. I gave it all away and launched out by faith. And God has met all the needs. He's been faithful. He is a faithful God. And I didn't have anything. And now, you know, he is just faithful to meet our needs. I will instruct thee and teach thee. You can't lose when you're given to God and seeking God and doing his. Young people, my only regret, I didn't launch out earlier. It's just like, you know, jumping up and down. This is solid. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. I've seen miracles. It's a miracle. If you want to see God, just be obedient to what. I remember the time I needed $10,000. I'm chasing a rabbit. I've got to hurry. I know y'all got to get to work in the morning. But I needed $10,000 at the end of the year. And I was working down there in the jail and praying. And God gave me a verse. And I was praying. And I started, Lord, I need $6,000. And I said, well, my math's not too good, Lord. I need $8,000. And then I said, Lord, no, I need $10,000. He settled me on $10,000. Okay, Lord. And then he gave me a verse. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall. And he just spoke to my heart. And I just began to trust in God on it. And it was just 2 weeks later, I had a pager on. At that time, I was on call for death messages in the jail. And my pastor was calling. And I went and called him and said, what's pastor? What's going on? He said, Brother Bottom, you wouldn't believe. Somebody, not even in our church, has donated $11,000 for your ministry. I said, glory to God. He even paid the tithe on the $10,000. Oh, glory. I've heard of stuff like this, but I've seen it. I did not tell people. God did it. God did it, and he's done it, and he's faithful. But I will instruct you. I will teach you. You know, God will guide thee. It says, I will guide thee with mine eyes. Are you looking to Jesus or are you looking to your boss for your provision? Are you looking to Jesus or are you just looking to the medical people for your health? Are you looking to Jesus or are you looking to other things? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I guide thee with mine eyes. The eyes, just like as a son, I grew up, my father was we worked together. There on the farm, and my dad was my hero. He was a World War II vet and fought Belgium, France, and Germany, and Corps of Engineers, then helped liberate the concentration camps. There, he was my hero, and I'd watch, and Dad didn't have to tell us what to do. We'd just watch. We'd figure it out real quick, and we'd be running. That's why, you know, I wanted, when God says jump, I jump. He said, go get a tool. He didn't mean go get a tool. Get it. Why? Because there's work to be done. There's things to be accomplished. When God speaks, get it. And so he will guide thee with mine eye. And if you're sitting in church, I remember sitting in church and Dad look over. And he'd give me that. I said, ooh. And next that thump, and after that, whoo, no, it's going to be on when I get to the house. So, you know, I will guide thee with mine eye. So you watch God. You want to please God to the place that you feel his heartbeat. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Don't be stubborn, or don't be as a horse. I'll back up there, verse 9. Be not as a horse or impulsive. Be not as a horse or as a mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. What's it talking about? Don't be impulsive like a horse. I had a quarter horse mare growing up. I didn't have a lot of things, but I had a lot of things. growing up, we didn't know we was poor, but we had a lot there on the farm. I had a horse, and that horse, she was a quarter horse, and so she never really got broke real good. But we had a lot of fun. And I rode her to the hayfield to take my dad some water. And on the way back, man, she decided she's going to the house. And here she goes, whoa, 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 and right through the crops, and right through my watermelon patch. No! And finally she got to the gate and had to stop and adjust her thinking. You know, don't be impulsive. Don't be impulsive. Just because someone, young lady, professes to know Christ, they may not know Christ. Let the wisdom of those around you can discern your fathers, your brothers, your pastors. They can smell a rat. I know your emotions, but you don't want to experience the emotion of heartbreak. They want to protect you. So don't be impulsive. Don't just jump and until the Spirit says jump, and then jump, go fast. But we must be teachable leader, but nor to be stubborn. We need to be about God's business. We don't have much time before the Lord returns. If God says do it, get after it. Don't be like the old mule. Bong, you have to get them jacked up. You know, that's why be faithful at church. Be about God's business. Be submissive to the Spirit of God. And don't be as a horse or mule whose mouth must be held in with bridle lest they come near unto thee. Oh, indeed, we need to be leadable, teachable, pliable. You know, if a pastor has a congregation like that, he may have to have more heart work done. It just may give him a heart attack. Yeah, what do you want us to do, Pastor? How can I help? You know, hey, Pastor, I see that. It'll be a blessing. At least he'll go out in glory. He said, hallelujah. It'll be gone. It'll be beautiful. But notice, indeed, the consequences of disobedience, indeed, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. I can testify the sorrows, the heartbreak that we see, that you have no clue. She said, my parents are hard. You don't know anything about hard till they lock you up and there's no protection and with a bunch of animals. That's what's going on right now. And it's injustice to the hilt. And they say, oh, we don't want to warp poor Billy's emotions, but throw him in jail like that with all this craziness going on? Come on. No, we need to train up our child. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. You know, the Lord encamps round about them that fear him. It covers him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And so as a result, we've got mercy following us. Notice what else? We've got gladness. Be glad in the Lord. Rejoice, you righteous. Ask God to give him the joy. Maybe there's some sin in your life you need to confess. And the enemy is hindering you from experiencing that joy, that gladness. And to the place, there's rejoicing. Oh, I thank God for good music. I thank God for those playing the instrument. Beautiful music. And may we put our heart into it. As people come to this church that do not know God, they experience the presence of God in song. And it arrests the spirits of darkness. Even as David played the harp with Saul, it'll arrest the spirits of darkness, that indeed people might come in the presence of a holy God. Let's pray that God will give us a joy, a rejoicing. We may go out with a shout in these end times. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'll draw our hearts to you. Thank you for the good patience of church folk here. And I pray for one without Christ, draw them to yourself, some hurting person, meet their needs. bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.